being here. Let me invite you to turn, if you will, to 1 John. Some of you who are visiting will need to know this. We are trying to go one book at a time through the Bible. We've been going for about 7 years now. We've made it to 1 John. And let you know here too before we get through all of them. There's a couple of passages that I want to read with you, and then I want to spend the rest of the time talking about some of the implications of what we're reading. We're going to begin in 1 John 1, and I'm starting in verse 5. So if you want to follow along with me, if you see somebody maybe who's struggling to find it, you help them. Most of the people in the room, not too long ago, might have had a trouble finding a little book like this too. 1 John 1, starting in verse 5. This is what we have heard from him and are declaring to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. If we say that we share in God's light while we're still living in darkness, we're lying, because we're not living in the truth. But if we live in light, as he is in light, we have share in each other's light, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We're going to jump down to chapter 2, verse 9. Whoever claims to be in light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Anyone who loves his brother remains in light, and there is in him nothing to make him fall away. In this little book, there is a picture that the writer is making, setting in contrast light and darkness. I don't think you knew that it's coming, and it's interesting to me. Three times in the time we were talking about various prayer concerns, you brought this same imagery up. You think back, you may remember at least one of those times. And what I want to do is I want to begin by asking you to think about what the difference between these two is. What's the difference? What are the characteristics of light that differ from characteristics of dark? Are they? And the other hour went to that. This is the presence of darkness. And this is the essence of
something.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me use the word reveals versus what the next contract is worth. Reveals versus conceals. Okay. I'm not going theological yet. I'm just saying light itself. So we'll go to implications in a few minutes. That's going to be one we're going to go to. Yeah.
To a degree, energy.
And the idea here sort of connects this. The first hour said Mark, which forced me to say,
another word that ties to the enemy and the opportunity to power.
And if you will, positive power.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily no power, but the power is negative rather than the other pain.
Where is the knowledge you can see things in life?
Yeah, you can see details. What would be an oppositional word? And you will not be able to put an oppositional term for every one of these. At least not if you go down the same road as the first hour. We found there's a few things that it's sort of like energy. It's sort of hard to know what to put on the other side of that. But these, you can do that way. But this one I think you can. What's a good word for the other side? I spend a lot of time with my students at the first of the year talking about that. Ignorance does not mean stupidity. What does ignorance mean? So once again, if you think that through, it sort of comes back to this line here, present is something versus absent.
How about
happiness and sadness? Actually, I was thinking fear. Happiness,
sadness, fear versus
security. Clarity versus confusion.
Be bright as opposed to blind.
Is there a fellowship with each other?
Well, I don't know. That might chime in back down with this a little bit. Right? Because I think there certainly is a term that you could set depression on one side and then set some more healthy state on the other side. And friendship would certainly tie into that. I mean, people who find themselves in it tend to go for isolation. And maybe that is a way to deal with that.
Lack of tolerance. Lack of tolerance, depression.
All that are right. If you scribble well enough, nobody can tell what you can spell. Maybe I'll just say that it's true. You actually are moving a little bit more into how I interact with things. The physicists use terms like transparent, which means what? You can see through it. You can reveal inner pieces and what would be a microphone. Okay. Opaque is the one that came to my mind first, but obscure is another good one. It's not obscure. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I think you just found another big one. This one supports or encourages growth. And this one impedes or inhibits. You were saying something?
I discussed it before.
Yeah, that sort of goes back to this. And you think, if you start looking at a list like this, you start to realize there's some sort of organizational ideas in here that are appearing in different forms. And every one of those is important because it's fleshing that out. But if you really sort of come back here to this one, this is new. And this one I think is extremely important. Supporting growth versus impeding growth. And if you've ever turned a rock over, you know there is still growth, but it's not the same stuff that grows on life around you. Nothing's still growing. But it's not necessarily the same. So don't push these too terribly far. And if there's any perfect metaphor, there may be more than one way you can twist it. Somebody up here?
Hope versus despair.
Yeah, and that sort of comes in back in here, doesn't it? Let me put that. I'm trying to remember how to spell despair. Maybe that's slipping. There's a verse in the Bible that says, forget what it is for a night, something for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I think that's beautifully lined up with what you said. Kimberly, I've not seen your hand before.
True theology is necessary.
Yeah. What is revealed? And what is concealed? Now, if we first, we're over here with this light of darkness, if we take a step across to where the theological implications of this, that's one of the things that might be hiding here. Reveals truth and conceals truth. And in part, because you can start to see details and you can't see details, because in part you can see the inner mechanisms of the post, and some things are obscured, you can't see those. Okay?
So then you find blinded and unblinded on
fire. Yeah, Matt, you're really close. Because somebody was wandering real close to that here. You're now sort of, that's the kind of where the song all about the God time. Can I hear it one more time?
You could be blinded or unblinded in the light.
Blinded or
seen.
Yes.
Right. Now what does it mean to have sight? What does it mean to have sight? You can see your way. You can find your way. As opposed to, nice theological word, please, lost. Somebody somewhere mumbled, confused a little while ago, and maybe that goes up here, that therapy is confusion, maybe that's another way to find it.
Light is light. Darkness is the source. What I call spectrum light and nail reflection, light is how they get to reflect. And that's how the church is meant to reflect.
But interestingly enough, in the little book of 1 John, there are three of these for which this is the only one we're looking at this morning. And one of the others is love versus hate or hatred. There is a third one, if that happens. The positive one starts with L. Life versus death. Those are the images that you see. We're focusing on this one. So, and those images are different ways of trying to word a truth. And so if you want to pull this up or pull this up, they certainly fit. They absolutely fit. In fact, we've already made that one fit down in here about confusing and promoting the growth. How are you doing so far? You have your hands down? Theory was that a flashlight worked by sucking flashlight is really a dark sucker. The flashlight is fucking dark out there.
It's disappointed too.
And when it has sucked up all the dark that the little boxes inside the flashlight can hold, so you have to discard those boxes and put new boxes in so you can suck up some more boxes. The reason that's funny is it sets this on its head, and we all know better. You don't suck up darkness. What do? You flood it out. Now, I've got a few things to talk about. And in talking about those, I want to just make sure that I'm hitting what I think may be the big one. You, most of these are out here, and you can just sort of listen to these and say, okay, this one probably fits with this, and you might pick up three or four of these. But there's one that you haven't talked about. And one you haven't talked about is a word that I choose to use. Splendor.
Oh, yeah.
In 1975, check the time and find out how provincial my life was before that. Barb and I made our first journey to New York City. We've never been there before. Knowing that this is coming and knowing that I do like to take pictures, I made the decision that I would do something to really make that journey worthwhile. So I sold the camera system that I had, all of my zoom lenses, I sold all of that, and I ordered better equipment. Would anyone like to guess what happened? Back order. Which meant that when I left for New York City, for my first trip ever to New York City, I had a small 35mm rangefinder with a thick lens on it. That was it. While we were in New York City, we got occasion to walk into St. Patrick's Cathedral. Paul Honaker knows the name. Mark that and that was the I don't know which part it was. Near the center of the big hall of that cathedral, there was a structure. As I remember, it was open-sided, but had sort of like arms that came up from four corners and met and made little domes. And it was all covered with gold. And it was sitting near the center of that sanctuary, of that. And when we walk in the back door, we had not been there 4 minutes, when all of a sudden a shaft of light came through one of the windows in the dome that the hole did, and illuminated that golden spot in the middle of the church. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I took my little camera, I pushed it up against the pillar, I took an available light shot, and I've got that picture on the wall of my office. If you ever come see me, you can look at it. One of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen. Why was it beautiful? It was the same thing, day in and day out. But it was because at that moment, light was illuminating that in a way that nothing else could. There is something about the splendor of light. If you have ever traveled to the Grand Canyon and you didn't go on a bright sunny day, I'm sorry for you. I did. There's a splendor of God's creation that light brings out in the darkness can. In the first hour, somebody talked about that and spent a year in Germany while in the military. And there was a period of 5 months in the winter where it was overcast and everything was up. And for 5 months, this part of Germany had a grand total of 2 minutes of sunlight. And he said it was the worst period of his life. No light. There is a splendor to light that is also reflective of God's strength. Number two, revealing. You use the word reveal, that's one of the big ones. That's one of the big ones. God is light, and in part that means God is at work to reveal himself to human beings. It also says light is revealing, and when that light shines on me, I'm revealed for who I am. Light is revealing on both sides of that equation. The light is seen, and the light discloses the truth about me. When you were connecting truth to this, that's absolutely essential to it. Something that nobody talks about, and I've got doctors in this room, and that's surprising. Light cleanses or purifies. The sterilizing that you can do with certain kinds of light, they may be doing it different ways now. It used to be they had chambers where you make UV light that has been all kinds of things. There's a sterilizing or a cleansing.
Well, I love the guys.
There's a cleansing that comes. And when you think God is light, one of the things that might bring to your mind is purity and holiness. And the demands of God to have purity and holiness is jealous from that person. And a big one up here. Finding your way. All through Scripture, God's light is used as a picture of the one absolute essential to know your way through this world, seriously. And if you don't have that light, the picture of someone around in darkness. And then the last one that maybe takes this one and then goes another step or two is down here in knowledge and details. It reveals flaws and stains among us. My mother's birthday is today. She will shoot me when she finds out what I'm about to say. When I go to visit my mother, she keeps the light very, very low. She has low wattage light bulbs in her fixtures. And you ask her, why don't you get some brighter light? And she says, no, no, no. If you turn up the light, you're going to see where I have clean. Turn up the light, you're going to see the best that your father leaves around here. If we keep the light low, we won't see those. Now she laughs when she says it, and she's nearly 90, so she's entitled, you know, she's doing that the way she's doing. But this idea of revealing flaws, it's not necessarily fun to have your flaws and things. And yet Scripture says over and over again that part of the cleansing process starts with enough light to see where the problems are. And so that's what he does as well. Now, you've done real good so far. What I want to do is I want to take this whole idea and turn it upside down. I want to go chase after darkness. And I want to see what the Bible tells us are the characteristics of darkness. And I want you to see that. It's almost always said in contrast to light, just like you've been doing. But I want you to hear what Scripture says. Now to that end, we're going to have to read a little bit of Scripture. To that end, I want to have volunteers. Okay? I have one. I'd like you to look up Ephesians 5:8. Okay, I need another volunteer. Colossians 1:13. I need another volunteer. I'm going to leave out 13 before I get through. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5. I'm not going to write that in that one. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5. Okay, another one. 1 Peter 2:9. Heaven. I want you to read John. That's the Gospel of John 1:5. Somebody else? John 12. And you've got two different verses in that chapter. One in verse 35 and one in verse 46. Let me pause before I go any further. If you find that you read your verse, that reading half of the verse before or reading on for another half of the verse is going to help a little bit make sense out of what you're finding here, don't hesitate to do that. Jennifer, that might be especially true on your 2 Corinthians 4:6. Do I have another one? Back there. Romans 13:12. John 3:19. John 3:19. You got that one left?
I was reading that verse.
Well, I'm sorry, I had it already.
Oh, okay.
Got one another? Ephesians 5:11. Three more. Temporarily. 1 John 2:9-11. Your daughter wants one. Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. And I need one more. Judas 13. You don't get a chapter. You get a verse. Judas 13. Okay? Now, we're going to read sometimes one, sometimes three or four, and we're going to stop and see if we can pick out what the characteristics are of darkness. There's going to be things said about light from time to time. A big message that I want to get across to you is this is not an idea that is limited to 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2. This is an idea that pervades the whole of the New Testament. And more than that, I'm going to take you into the Old Testament. It pervades a lot of the New Testament. So let's start. We're going to read the first four, and then we're going to stop and sort of take stock of the rest of it. So who had Ephesians 5:8?
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Colossians 1:13.
For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of the Lord.
1 Thessalonians 5:5.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that visitation should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
1 Peter 2:9.
They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light.
Good. Let's stop and take stock. What's the major characteristics of darkness that we're dealing with in those four verses?
No fellowship.
And we were all there. Did you hear that? Because there are great tendencies for me to say, well, I'm a child of light and you're not. And what does that leave? Almost inevitably to pride, arrogance, condescension toward you. It's totally different to say, I'm a child of darkness that's been led into light. It's totally different to say that to you. This may be the most important thing I say all day, so I'm going to stay with you just a moment. Hollywood almost always gets it wrong. Not have spectacular wrong. But every once in a while, something happens, and you shake your head, and you say, wow, where did that come from? One of those I shared with you, before you want to be right here, but I shared it, right? Share it with you. There's a show on TV called The West Wing. And a couple of years ago, they had one of their characters, Josh, if you keep count, who ended up having some trouble. And as we put it, you're not allowed to have this problem if you work at the West Wing, right? You have some psychological problem. And so his boss called in a person who was used to dealing with people who had some kind of crisis situation, trying to help them deal with it emotionally and mentally and spiritually and all that. And the sessions were sort of watched across a whole episode. And towards the end, it was way into the night. The psychologist kind of said, okay, that's the road. You finally realize what you're dealing with, blah, 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 blah. At which point, Josh, of course, is hungry for what he wanted to get. He comes stumbling downstairs and is about to walk out through the lobby area. And he finds his boss sitting in the lobby, 1 a.m. in the morning. And he looked at him, you know, astounded, just astonishment, and said, what are you doing? And he said, I thought you might want to talk. And then he said, let me tell you a story. The guy was walking home, and he didn't realize that there had been some road construction going on. And there was a big hole in the ground. He fell into the hole, and he couldn't find out. There was nobody around him. And all of a sudden, he realized somebody was walking by, and he looked, and it was a preacher. And he said to the preacher, I think this hole's down. And the preacher walked up to the edge of the hole, took out a cat, and made him rub some water on the top of the hole, said, yes, here's a prayer. Pray that the Father help us. And he walked on. Even if a doctor came by, this is who you go. A doctor came by, and said, Doc, I'm in the hole, help me. The doctor looked in the hole, pulled out a pad of paper, right up, got the wrong hole. Here's a prescription, I promise you, he didn't walk on. And he hears footsteps, and he looks, and here's his friend. Fred, I'm in the hole. Can you help? Fred jumps in the hole. My God, Fred, what are you doing? I'm still with him. Fred says, yeah. But I've been in this hole. Yeah. And he falls to look at him and says, I've been in that hole. I know the way out. But Fred has not. If I have the attitude that I'm a child of God, and you're a child of God, that attitude is going to be Christ. But if I have the attitude that I'm a child of God, and you're a child of God, and I found my way out, but there's somebody there, it changes everything. here. It's not your child's light or your child's darkness that he opposed. You were a child's darkness. Somebody's led you out of the light. What's the cost? Let's keep moving. John 1:5 is the next one.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not know
it. Read it one more time.
The light shines in the darkness.
The darkness has not understood. There's another translation that says the darkness cannot comprehend it. There's a third one, which I think is better. The darkness cannot overcome it. Let's try that home for size for just a minute. The darkness cannot overcome it. There's an implication of the word of that translation. What's the implication? The implication is darkness tries. The implication is darkness tries to go away. There is hostility between light and darkness as theological approach. There is hostility between the two. Some people who talk about if you're a child of God, line yourself up with God is talking about the hostility. Light seeks to obliterate, and darkness seeks to obliterate the light. But it fails. It tried, but it failed. John 12, Jennifer, I think this one was yours.
Yeah, and I read your answer kind of spinning around it because I'm dealing with the victim's death. I think I'll read more than it, but it was something that I then you told him, you're going to have a light, what is going on? Walk where you have a light before darkness is going to take you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he goes. Put your trust in the light, find the path. I have come into the world of the light, but no one who believes in the ending should stay in darkness.
Darkness is the state we used to be in. And the implication of Jesus is that even if you are a child of light, there can be moments when it gets awfully dark again. And the question is, you know what to do when that happens. Darkness is a description of the ignorance in which we once walked. And if we're not careful, we can forget what we know. There's something I think is worth putting up here. Some have access to light. But not use it. They don't take advantage of it. One of the biggest tragedies is to see somebody who is a child of light and isn't walking in love. The book of 1 John, more than anything, is talking to us if you're one of those people, like I am. I have light, but I don't always what to walk with. 2 Corinthians 4:6.
For God, He says, let light shine out of darkness, may this light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Christ.
For God, who says, let light shine in darkness. What's that light you're thinking of? Let me say that.
When you were talking about, you know, how to say there's a lighthouse, and the lighthouse was beaten to guide someone, you know, that's what we're called to be. You were talking about earlier, Jonah in a hole. Well, where's the lighthouse? A beacon in someone
can... Yeah, light and salt is one of the big energies that walks its way through the Old Testament. Think of this one, though. Take a second, because there's something really interesting here. What's the writer thinking of when the writer says those words? The same God who ordered light to shine in darkness has shined His light in our hearts, too. What's the meaning of? You think about creation. Okay? You go back to the creation story. At the moment when God said, let there be light, what was there before? Mm-hmm. Yeah, darkness. What else? Mm-hmm. There was what is called void in some translations. What else? Chaos. This is one reason I wrote that over here when Jennifer was talking about her. There is something empty that needs to be filled. There is confusion and disorder that needs to be ordered. And God's light is in opposition to that. We are running low on time, so let's move. Romans 13, 12.
Tonight, being in the garden, and put on the armor of righteousness, and be permitted to live like sinners. If you finish through everything you need, the hour that you need will be dangerous. But if you think of the world, or if you're getting from the world, you know, the kind of the other.
John 3:19.
Talk
about deeds of darkness. Morality, unethical living, all of that kind of stuff. Ephesians 5:11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Remember back in here for what it supports growth, inhibits growth. Did you hear that fruit last speech? Well, after that activity, but there's nothing of any lasting value to show for it. 1 John 2:9, 10, and 11.
Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness is blinding him.
Can you feel the connection back into here? Light means love. Darkness means faith. And then Ephesians 6:12. Out of John the Gospel. There's something really interesting. Two different things are said in this section. I'm going to start immediately after John 3:16 and read just a little bit. We're almost done. There's one thing that's big and obvious, and then there's one that's subtle, and that's the subtle one I want you to see. For God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. No one who believes in him will be judged. But whoever does not believe is judged already, because that person does not believe in the name of God's only Son. And this is the judgment. Though the light has come into the world, people have preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. And indeed, everyone who does wrong hates the light and avoids it to prevent his actions from being shown up. But whoever does the truth comes out into the light, so that what he is doing may plainly appear as done in God. The big one is, people caught in darkness, it's hard to get out. Because every instinct about you is to hide and hide and hide. And the moment when life comes in, the things turn around. One of the hardest things y'all ever recovery is working on is right there. Trying to talk about opening up and admitting the things you're dealing with, even if you don't know how to deal with them, to admit that there are things to deal with. Now, here's the subtle one. Take a look at the front end of verse 20 and the front end of verse 21. The front end of verse 21, 20 says, everyone who does wrong hates the light. So what verse 21 supposed to say? Everyone who does right. But it doesn't say that. But it does. Everyone who does truth. It doesn't say everyone who does wrong, everyone who does right. Because everyone who does wrong, everyone who does truth. Light reveals truth. Jesus said, I am the church truth. When we do what Jesus did, we're doing the truth. If you are a child of light, good. That comes from the word sin. If you're a child of darkness, the light is calling. The light is unto you. That's that word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the time that you give us. We thank you for the word that you've given us to mull over and think about. And I pray that in the heart of each person here, you will bring some piece of that word alive, so that your Son can be more clearly seen, and that light will shine more brightly in the heart of each person here. Walk with us through the coming week, that we may be your instruments in the hurting world. We ask you to do the same. Amen.